Hey everybody, welcome back for another episode of The Overlay, a poker podcast brought to you by CCG Poker and Paramount Social Club in beautiful Houston, Texas. This is your host, Ken, number one PLO player in all of Illinois, self-proclaimed.
That's you, or you're introducing me?
I guess...
I'll take Indiana. You can have Illinois.
That's good. But then what if we start going into like Midwestern stuff? It gets a little weird.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm hoping somebody will tell us that there's no way we're even in the top 100, in which case that means they listen to the podcast, which is nice.
Right.
Hey, everybody.
Right.
Welcome back. We've had a little break since Vegas, which is kind of nice. Brandon and I have been taking some well-deserved time off, which basically means we're just doing the events and that's it, rather than like trying to do more content, which is hard sometimes. Wouldn't you agree, Brando?
I would agree. I mean,
too.
We've been trying to put this episode out for what, 3 weeks now?
3 or 4 weeks, and it's yeah. It's kind of cool that we finally got it. And I think the nice thing is, and it sometimes this happens and it's a good thing and sometimes it doesn't, like we've kind of tanked for so long. You like how I'm using a poker term? We tanked for so long on this episode that I think we've gotten it to like the best possible outcome from like the people's standpoint. I think this is the most successful. If we'd have done it 2 weeks ago, got it out on time, and when we said we would, the product would not be as good. Now you're going to get 6 weeks. It's a mini series brought to you by The Overlay, the number one podcast in the Midwest for poker-related podcasts. And I'm excited about it. Are you excited about it?
I'm pretty pumped.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you?
I mean, I'm not that excited to have to like study Hold'em. But, you know, I mean, right. I could use it, so.
That's the problem when you're, like, the technical guy.
Yeah,
you have sucks. To be technical.
But it's okay.
Well, good.
Yeah, you know, I just make it up anyways, but, you know.
Any so good.
Let's,
Go ahead.
Ooh, that was cute.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, you go. No, you hang up. No, you say I love you. No, you say bye. Then they just.
I mean, I think we should just get right into it. I mean, I'm ready to fire up this little intro.
Okay. Miniseries number one. What is our miniseries going to be about, Brandon? The next
six episodes.
I mean,
this is really episode kind of like zero.
Zero. Yeah, it's like the prep episode.
And actually, it might be 7 episodes because...
I see that.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about premium holdings in the game of Texas Hold'em and how hard they are to play. And we got a little ranking system.
Right. So premium...
So this actually comes from, Kevin Martin, one of my Twitch guys. I've been watching him for like a decade now. When I was 21 and he was 21, he was literally like living in his parents' basement playing $1 sit and goes on PokerStars. And now he plays like 1Ks.
Ooh.
And he plays like the highest stakes, that they offer. So it's pretty sweet to watch him go up the ranks. But he tweeted out premium holding hands ranked by how tough they are to play.
Well, it sounds like twice you've said holding hands, premium holding hands ranked by
I said premium holdings.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I said. Premium. In Hold'em.
Right. So premium hold'em hands ranked by how tough they are to play. And we're assuming that's pre-flop. Or does that mean the whole way through?
I think this is the whole way through.
Okay. I was thinking it was like just pre-flop, which again makes sense. But basically you take your best cards in Texas Hold'em. We all know what they are. Aces, kings, queens, jacks, ace king, ace queen, tens. I don't know how far down the list you want to go, but I mean, that's where they're at, right? And how tough they are based on how good of a hand they are, which I think is extremely interesting and kind of a wild idea. So the plan is to do his 6 ranked hands from toughest to least toughest, I guess.
Sure.
We'll figure out what they are. Maybe we'll start with the easy ones and work our way up to the most difficult premium hand to play. But yeah, I mean, it's like when you look down, you're stoked, and then you start playing the hand, you're going like, shit, I wish I had 7, 8 of diamonds because it's just easier to know what to do. You know, it's easy. When you have tens, fuck, I don't know what to do. Seems like
I
a pretty good
like
hand.
We're both in the player. We both have the same playing style where we'd like much prefer 8, 6 of diamonds over jacks.
I do. I don't want to be the, I want to be the, in my mind, I want to be the attacker. I want to be the one trying to draw versus holding off an onslaught of oncomers trying for spades and hearts and flushes and straights and two pairs. Like, I don't want that. I want, you know, I want to be in the other end. I'm more comfortable drawing than I am holding a premium hand.
Yeah, because it's tough to know where you're at, and especially when we have we have the PLO sickness inside of us.
Yeah,
and that always creeps in, even when we're playing hold'em.
It's all about the draws, and I feel like I'm at a disadvantage, even though aces versus 7-8 or 8-9, or even if they flop a flush or straight, like I don't even know what the odds are. What are they?
I don't know.
If you flop an open ender versus a big pair, an over pair, what's your odds? Oh, yeah,
you're like 38%, something like that, 35%, somewhere.
It's
in there.
Like a coin flip at that point, 60-40. I mean, maybe a little bit worse than that, but still, like, I even knowing I'm 60% ahead of the, I'm ahead 60% of the time with that overpair, I don't want to be the overpair. I want the 40% draw. I just feel more comfortable in that scenario than
and you mean
else.
Comfortable in the means of like your lines of playing turns and rivers when you get there and don't get
correct.
There and the board changes and the texture,
it's,
you know,
the post flop play, right?
Like, it's not like you got it all in on the flop. You'd rather have 60% aces
correct.
Than 40% open end
for sure.
But like, assuming that we're deep in a tournament or we're deep stacked and we have 100 big blinds, like, it's really tough to have the aces. And I'm with you. I'd much rather just like, well, if I hit my eight outs, I'm going to try and win a huge pot. And if I don't, I'm going to lose a small pot.
Whenever it comes to premium hands, that's where I think I'm at. And I think we're kind of, I'm just kind of collectively putting them all together. You know, I either win a small pot or I lose a big pot. And that's how I feel when I have aces and kings and queens. And I look down and I'm like, fuck, I don't know where I'm at. I never know where I'm at.
And like,
I know pre-flop I'm good, but then the flop comes out, I have no idea where I stand. It's like, do I keep fucking going forward? Do I make a c-bet and see what happens? Because that's what a c-bet means to me. Ken's going to just, I'm going to put chips out there and see what happens. C-bet. That's what that's what it means, right?
Something like that.
I bet and I see what happens. And sometimes I decide it's good. But like, if you race pre-flop, get a caller, and this happens to me in the mystery bounty. I mean, obviously we're going to talk about aces eventually as one of the tougher hands to play, you know, throughout the hand. Played aces, bet. Guy called my four bet with queen four off. The flop was queen 4-3. I mean, he flopped top two, queen four. I bet it the whole way. And I think he smooth called until the turn or the river. I think the river he finally check raised me. But I was like, the whole time I'm thinking, do I just keep firing bullets here? Like, I bet he called. I bet he called. I bet he called again. I'm like, all right, I checked the river. And now I just gave up. Like, I'm not even, it's like I just told him,
you
give up.
Aces into giving up on the river.
Right. Actually, I think in that instance, and it is something I talked about on the turn, I bet again.
And then
he went all in, and I had bet too much to fold. At that point, I was like, even if I'm losing, I have to call. And I did. And obviously, he knocked me out, and I get to tell everybody I got knocked out with aces. Yippee. Either lose a big pot and have a good story, or you win a shitty pot that nobody cares about. And then you want to show your aces because you had them. And then everybody's like, who gives a shit? You won the blinds.
I think my biggest, like my personal biggest issue with like big hands is like, if I'm repping a big hand and I actually have the big hand and then I'm telling them that I have a big hand and then they're raising me, all of a sudden I just start to be like, well, I mean, they have to have it.
Right.
Well, I don't know what they have, but like they have to have it.
I start
queen 4-3. It's like they got to have queen four or queens. It's like, how do they have it? But they have it.
I start doing the rabbit hole of like, well, does he know that I know that he knows that I have a big pair? So he knows I'm betting a big pair, but then he's bluffing with nothing, knowing that I'm probably not going to call because he thinks that he knows that I know. And it's like, I don't, at that point, it's like, fuck,
I mean,
who cares? Like, none of
the boards, when the board's like jack 10, 8, 7, and I'm firing out with aces, well, this guy knows I have aces and he knows that against, you know, my super premium range, he can raise here and just bluff. Because I never have a 9 or never have jack 10 or 8.
Right.
All those hands I don't have in my range. So now all of a sudden he's just raising me, but maybe he's just turning pocket twos into a bluff because he knows I have aces.
Right.
And this board's scary for me.
Because you play it so well.
This is exactly what getting lost in deep stack tournaments and having 100 big blinds, why it's so tough to play and why the true crushers can just crush tournaments like the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to put so many people in spots that are so uncomfortable and we've just never been in them before. And they're just like, yeah, this is a walk in the park. I do this all the time.
And it's funny because, like, in all honesty, every poker player that looks at their cards, they want to look at pocket aces. Like, they want to look at one of these six hands. So we're going to give the list here out in a few seconds or a few minutes, whatever the case may be. Like, every time you look down, like, you want these hands to show up. Like, if I pinch the first card, are you a pincher or do you just look at the both cards at once and then put them down? I'm a pincher.
Like, I'm a slow scratcher. I look at one at a time.
I look at one at a time.
It's not like a super slow roll.
No. I mean, I look at one and then I'm like, I want them to match. So it's like, I look at an ace. I instantly, in my mind, I'm screaming, ace. And if it's not an ace, I want it to be a king. And if it's not a king, I want it to be a queen. And if it's not a queen, I want it to be a jack. And if it's not a jack, I want it to be a 10. And if it's not a 10, I don't give a fuck for anything else because they're all the same to me. Ace 9 versus ace 6. You're not making any straights with them. So fuck it. Any of those are fine. I just wanted to be suited at that point, you know?
I just wanted to be known to the audience that that's one of the smartest things that Ken's ever said. He stopped at ace 10 and then combined the ace.
You like that? I'm finally, after like 3 years and 25,000 downloads, I'm finally getting smarter at this game. Because
ace 5 suited is much better than ace 9 suited.
It is. Even though you wouldn't think so. But they're right. The same difference. It doesn't matter. You're not playing the kicker with ace 9 versus... Yeah, anyways, we're getting into a different argument.
No, but that's true. I mean, ace 5, you want the straights and the wheel and it all gives that stuff.
Again, that might be the PLO in us. We're thinking of getting more draws and things of that nature. But, you know, you got two pair draws and straight draws, where ace 9, you only have two pair draws.
And a shitty ace.
Yeah, now a less confident ace where I'm a little nervous about. But anyways, my point of saying that about every single poker player, if you're playing cash or tournament, does not matter. You look at a 10, you instantly want to see a 10 with it, right? Like, you just, in your mind, you're like, match them up. And it's funny because we're looking at this list and it's like, I'm wishing for these hands, but yet when I get them, they're very difficult to play.
We don't know what to do with them.
Right. So it's like, does that make sense? Like, it's like, man,
it does.
I really wish I had a 19 vintage 60s Ferrari. And then it's like, but I don't know how to drive stick. Like, so it's right. Like, why the fuck?
Sweet. It's sitting here.
Why do I want it? Right. It. I kind of would love to have like a cool cafe racer, Triumph or bike. Like, that would be badass. Like, this British cafe racer. I want one. But I don't really know how to drive a motorcycle. I mean, I theoretically know how to drive a motorcycle. And as a kid, I rode a dirt bike occasionally in Minnesota. But you put me on a motorcycle right now, like, I'm going to fumble. I'm going to look like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to screw it up. I'm not 100% sure. And yeah, after 4, 5, 6, you know, dying it, I can make it work. But you really don't want to win 1 out of 6 with your premium hands. And that's kind of what the point is. Brandon, give us the top 6. Do it like from 6 to 1 from
right. So
backwards to the most least difficult to most difficult premium hands ranked by how difficult they are to play. Go ahead.
All right. So we're going to start with the easiest.
Number 6.
And that's kings.
Kings. Pocket kings.
Pocket kings.
Cowboys. El Cochos.
Yep.
Caballeros.
I don't know. No. All right. That was the horses. All right. So number 5, queens.
Ladies.
And queens and kings, you know, you can kind
of
see
a couple of Hollywood waiters. Boat. Sorry, I'm trying to think of all the names that they come up with.
Yeah. Number 4, pocket rockets.
Ace. Oh, you stole my.
The American Airlines.
The American Airlines. Yeah, I used to call them that.
That's American Airlines. They didn't win.
Oh, I got one for kings. Kings number 6, King Kong. King Kong.
Oh, nice. I never say King Kong.
Steve Lyons likes that one. Nice. All right, so we have number 6, kings. Number 5, queens. Number 4, aces. Number 3, jacks. The infamous
Which
jacks.
I thought would be the most difficult, but when you start thinking about these other two hands, they are right in the middle at number three.
I mean,
jacks.
It is kind of it's kind of like a top tier. 1, 2, and 3 are all kind of in their own range, and then 4, 5, and 6 are kind of in their own range.
Yep.
But 3's jacks. 2, the good old ace king.
Yep.
Now, he has ace king off.
He is very specifically the most difficult ace king is obviously ace king off. But I even think ace king suited still kind of lands in the same spot. Like, it's just right. Big slack.
Really, the only difference is the flush draw. And obviously, it makes a huge difference.
Makes it easier to play.
A nut flush draw. Right. It makes it a lot easier.
I understand at that point. Ace King off is more difficult to play than the suited one, because at least if you flop one spade, in the back of your mind, you're always going, oh, I could turn a spade and maybe turn this into a flush draw and kind of go from there. All right. What is the number one most difficult premium hand to play, Brandon?
So the audience, the drum roll, please. I mean, there's two really hands here. I mean, is it ace queen off? Is it ace queen suited? No, it is
pocket
tens.
Yeah.
Tens are extremely tough because they are. I mean, when you think of premium hands and hold them, what do you think? Tens plus and ace queen suited plus, right?
Right.
So those eight hands or nine hands or whatever that is. Tens are the weakest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, they're still a premium hand. I mean, they're still very much.
They still count for 10 in blackjack. So it's a face card. It's still a face card.
However, they are very tough to play.
They're hard.
They're hard. It's tough to know where you're at. When all the money gets in, you don't really feel great about tens. Nope. I mean, you know, it's like, and for those reasons and a lot more that we'll get into in its own specific tens episode, you know, they're just really, really, really hard to play. And I mean, there's not, you know, because there's really no quote, air quoting here, premium hand that you can go up against that you're in good shape against.
Nines.
Well, but that's not, doesn't make our list of premium hands.
I know. This is the bottom of the premium hands, which makes it the most difficult.
So really, the only good hand you're up against is ace king. And this is why kind of ace king and tens are the hardest two hands to play, because they tiptoe the line of, yes, this is a good hand, but anything I'm getting up against is going to be as good or better.
So, in all honesty, I think this is why it's so tough. Let's just dumb it down to like the all-in pre-flop kind of idea. You know, bet, all-in, call, blah, 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 whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter which side you're of the coin you're on. If you got tens and you're fairly short in a tournament versus you got ace king in a tournament, you're fairly short, those two players are getting it all in at the final table. Like, there's just no, it's never not going to happen. It's just, it is what it is, right?
Right.
Tens are going to go all in. Ace king is going to call. So, like, at best case scenario, I think why tens are so difficult, or the most difficult, best case scenario with tens, you're flipping 50-50. Best case. Worst case,
I agree.
You're 80-20, right? You're up against jacks or better, and you're fucked. I mean, you're going to be looking at an ace with either a king, queen, jack. Maybe you get lucky and a guy jams with ace 10 and you're blocking one of the tens. That's your best case scenario. In a tournament situation, is tens versus ace 10. That's your best bet. Ace 10 or worse. I mean, obviously ace 9, but at that point we're getting redundant. But
right. At that point we're nines, eights, sevens. Those are going to be more or less the hands you're going to get.
Correct. Right. I mean,
but I mean, it's still, I mean, you're pushing your luck here that you're going all in here deep in a tournament and somebody's got worse than tens. But at the same time,
I almost don't even think
you can never fold tens.
I was going to say, I kind of think I'm erring towards the side of tens being not a premium hand. I think to me, the premium hands start at like
jacks plus.
Jacks plus. I kind of feel that way because, like, you're right. And here's the funny thing, and this is why poker is such a goofy game. Like most intellectual games that are kind of based on a variance that you cannot control, which I guess all sports do. You know, there is absolutely, if I'm in a tournament, I got 12 big blinds and I see tens and there's a bet, like I'm gonna jam it. I'm gonna get it in there. Like, I want to get my tens in the pot. I want to run it out. I want to see what happens. Maybe I'll take it down. Nobody will call me, or maybe I'll hope for that 50-50 flip and it is what it is, and I'll take my chances. But it's so funny, we're saying here now, like, I don't consider tens a premium hand, yet if I'm at the final table or in a tournament and I'm gonna jam it, I guess it is hard as shit to play.
I think we need to zoom out a little bit and assume that, like, all of these hands going up against all of these other hands when you have, say, 15 big blinds or under is just, like, the only outcome that's going to happen when you get dealt those hands. So then we need to, like, zoom out and think more, like, oh, maybe when we're on the bubble and we got 70 big blinds.
Right.
Well, tens is still – I mean, tens becomes actually more of a premium hand when you have more big blinds because they're easier to play. Whereas, you know,
it's not all or nothing. You can play a little bit.
It's not all or nothing. But
and the reason is
difficult. That's what makes it difficult.
But the reason you can do that with 70 big blinds is it leaves you the opportunity to fold and get away from the hand. And I think the problem is for most players, I don't care. I wasn't even going to say average players. I would say most players, I don't care how good you are. Most players, like, it's really hard to know when was it a good fold, when's it not. We don't have the luxury of being on TV all the time and like going back and going, shit, I totally should have called with nines there. I was money. I mean, the flop came 10, 6, 5. You know, my nines were good. I don't know why I mentioned nines, but my 10s on a jack 7, 4 board where I bet he raised me. I'm like, well, he must have a jack. I fold. We don't know if that's right or not, you know, and it kind of gnaws at you. I think it's the idea of they're difficult to play because you don't know where you are. And then there's always doubt. You very rarely are going to get to the river and get to showdown and see the other player's cards and just muck your 10s quietly and be like, well, yep, I should have not called that last bet. I mean, you could if you're me, because that's what I do, because I'm too fucking stupid to not call. However, you know, like, good players are going to get away from it and be like, I can find a better spot. There's so many times you've said to me, I'm going to find a better spot than this one. I tend to just dig in and go forward.
Bro, you're taking that spot because it's in front of you. But like,
correct. I don't want to wait. It's the PLO. Right. I need instant gratification instantly, which I can't get.
But again, sticking with tens and ace king, that's why they're so hard. You always have those options to just take a better spot. But maybe this is a great spot and you just don't know it.
Correct.
And like,
well, then it's like the residual too, because then you're like, you're doubting yourself for the next half hour. Again, this is what Ken does. The next 10, 15, 20 minutes, I'm thinking about, did I misplay that? Did I not? I mean, how many times did I call you from Vegas and like I spent my entire half hour break discussing with you if I should have done something different with the aces I had and lost a big pot on? And it was just like, what was I doing? I can't get away from that. Can we make an episode of how to get out of your own way? Because you just got to let it go. It's gone. You're still in the tournament. Keep going. I have
that happened 2 hours ago and you wasted your, I'm not wasting, but still, you spent your whole break that you could have been doing something productive on talking to me about me letting you know that you can never fold aces on queen 4-3.
No.
Yeah. Get out of that.
It's actually one of my, I think it's my favorite hand, because it's something I say to people when they talk about bad beats with me at CCG or in Houston, because I really don't want to hear your bad beat story. I don't. This is to all poker players out there.
Oh, that's a hot take. I never knew that.
I don't want to hear it. I don't. I love poker. It's an incredible game, but I don't want to. I want to play poker. I want to play PLO. I want to do whatever I want to do. I don't really want to hear about it. In all fairness, I don't expect you to listen to my bad beat stories unless you subscribe to the podcast, in which case you kind of chose to do that. But I don't know. I don't want to listen to bad beat stories. And I always say to people, "Oh man, I got it in kings versus queens, and guy flopped a queen." And I always say to them, It's one of those situations where you just lose. You're never getting away from that hand. It played itself. It's not a bad beat story. It's just a I got screwed story, which are not as good. Bad beat stories are like, I don't know, I got it in. Like Salad on the app gets it all in with the guy needs to turns the draw, and then rivers to one or two outer. Like, that's a bad beat story. I got it in super good. Ice Haze told me about that on Sunday. I put him into the deep stack twice, and he went in the first time, busted, and he's like, yep, got it all in with top two, ace five, and the guy turned a gut shot and rivered the gut shot, and I was like, that's a bad beat story. I get
that's
it.
A bad beat.
Whereas, you know,
there's a difference between coolers and bad beats, I guess, is the moral story.
But I love telling to people, like, it's my go-to saying, like, you just lose there. Like, you're not going to get away from it. You just lose there. Those are not the situations we're talking about. Brand is going to give us a full mini series, which I'm very excited about, because I feel like I'm going to learn something here too. This is the pre-episode where we discuss the idea of premium hands and how difficult they are and why they're difficult and just kind of the breakdown of what they are. And then next week, and we're going to do this for the next 6 weeks, right? Because there's six premium hands we're going to do.
Six hands.
We're going to go kings, queens, aces, jacks, ace, king, and tens. And we're going to rip an episode from each and talk about how to play them and situations of what you need to be in on kind of different ways to think about those hands and how to play them better, right?
I do. I agree. Yes, that's what we're going to do. And I think we'll do something with, you know, I mean, obviously, we all know how to play kings with 15 big blinds. So, I mean, we'll touch on, you know, when you're kind of short and, you know, maybe when you can fold jacks when you have 12 bigs. Like, but I mean, most of that's going to be pretty easy. We're getting it all in. And then we'll talk about when we have, you know, 20, 30, 40 bigs, because that's really when you're like, eh, this hand's still too good. It's 30 bigs. I'm not getting away from it. It is what it is. But then you graduate to the 100 big blind level, and now all that goes out the window, and we're in the wild, wild west here.
Yep.
And the amount of lines that you can take is just endless, especially when you get to these tens, ace, king, jacks. There's a million different ways you can play those
hands. That's the problem. And maybe that happens early in the tournament, right? Like maybe you get kings like in the third level at an MSPT tournament, and you've got 150 big blinds or whatever it is, like you've got enough. And like, theoretically, like you could just give it up, like live to fight another day. I don't know if that's a poker player saying that happens a lot, but like, that's the situation we're talking about where it's like, you didn't have to go broke there. Maybe you could have gotten out of that hand without losing, or how could you have played it better to, and you know, sometimes people just want to gamble. And if you are willing to do that, then I guess that's not what we're talking about. We're trying to figure out a way to play premium hands better so that your win percentage rate goes up. Is that a thing?
Yes. Nice. Your win rate in general. But I think the big kicker here is, like you touched on earlier, is we want to see these hands.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's almost like it's our weakest part of our game.
Yep.
It's like the strongest hands is our weak spot, which like doesn't make sense, right? Because like,
no.
I feel way more comfortable
that was my idea?
Diamonds out of position than I do playing jacks in position. And that's just dumb.
That was a good idea.
It is a good idea.
Yeah.
So
you're right. That's what we're going to do over the next 6 weeks is discuss these hands.
We need to strengthen our ability to pair up with the strong hand.
Yep.
You know, because I'm pretty weak at playing strong hands.
I was trying to remember what we were talking about when I was doing my Tom Brady has a genie idea and he made three wishes. And I don't remember what we were talking about, but that's pretty funny. Because every time I look at it, I want the poker gods to match my ace with another beautiful ace. So I can scream inside my brain, wahoo, I finally got aces. And then after that, like 3 second poker boner goes away, then I go, oh shit, I have to actually play aces now. And
I have to win this hand.
I don't know how to do that. The only time I know how to do those, any of these six hands, aces, any of the premium hands, unless I flop a set, I don't know how to play them.
Right.
And that's what I want you to help me with.
Or get it in pre. You can play that pretty well.
I have two options with aces. Get it all in pre-flop or flop an ace. That's it. That's my game plan. Or fold reluctantly and then bitch about it for 2 hours. Hey, there's your first podcast, Ken. That's exactly what I do.
Any flop that doesn't have an ace in it or you're not all in,
right.
Ken's in trouble.
Yeah,
and that's
or it's
a lot of flops.
Or it's three spades, and I pinch and look at the ace of spades, and then I'm like, oh, sweet. I listened to that podcast about the blocker bets. Can we make a blocker bet episode too after this one? That'll
we
be part
can
of
do
this.
Anything now. Oh, now all of a sudden we take 4 weeks off.
Yep. Well, no.
Now
this is what happens.
And
I know people get mad at me, and I did make a promise last week that we were going to do it, and just we couldn't do it with the free roll and whatever excuses they are. We couldn't get to it, and it happens. I have kids. You're out in Indiana. Like it's a far drive. Blah blah blah. We both work. It is what it is. You know. But I felt bad. But I feel like. The way this worked out, I think it's working out. It'll be a much better podcast. But as always, we're going to end now. Thank you for listening to The Overlay. We look forward to doing our 6-part mini series of how to play premium hold'em hands better, ranked by how tough they are to play.
Yeah. I mean, we're just taking the ranking system here and then touching on each of those hands, you know,
how to play them better.
And for the record, we were talking about, children in America and how they can't grow up to be Tom Brady.
Oh, right. Yeah. The idea of when people are like, you can be anything you want. And I'm like, buddy, you are never going to be Tom Brady. You're not going to be a quarterback at 50 years old, winning Super Bowls, dating a supermodel. I used a different word than date, but on the podcast, I'm going to say date. Dating a supermodel who makes more money than you. Like, bro, you might as well just wish for a genie. Dad, what do you...
Right.
What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to own a genie. That's what I want. I want a magic genie that will give me three wishes. So basically, that's the only way Tom Brady exists. Because otherwise,
and you would need to use all three wishes from your genie.
Right.
To be
I want
Tom
to be
Brady.
An NFL quarterback. I want to marry a supermodel, and I want to play until I'm 50 years old. Oh, by the way, I want to play until I'm 50 years old and win Super Bowls. Like, not even just play like Brett Favre, who played well. got to the playoffs, but the man didn't close. Tom Brady wins Super Bowls. It's right. nuts. In Tampa Bay. What? How did those guys win a Super Bowl? I don't know. They had Tom Brady. Anyways, that's the Genie episode, part 5. Thank you for listening to the overlay. We look forward to bringing you our mini series of premium hands and how to play them better by Brandon, not
Ken. So we're going to start with Kings. We're going to start with Kings.
We're going to go bottom to top. We're going to do, yeah.
Easiest premium hand to play is Kings. And we'll get into details.
Don't spoil it.
We'll get in.
Give him a
teaser.
We'll
get into the details next time.
Come and see the details next time. How to play Kings better by Brandon. And it's going to work. We're going to discuss the things that will make you play Kings better. Thank you, as always, for listening to The Overlay. Please share us with your poker friends. If you're in Chicagoland area or Central Illinois, come and see us at one of the charity poker events. Brandon and I are always around somewhere. Not like we're famous or cool by any sense of the word, but we do enjoy when people come up and say, hey, we love the podcast. We like the vlog. We like your content. We dig what you're doing. Keep doing it. If you're in Texas, Brandon and I are going to be out there again soon. As always, things come up and it's been tough, but maybe we'll do a meetup game in Texas in the upcoming weeks once the weather gets cold here.
Yeah, now that it's not 140.
I don't want to go to Texas when it's hot. And then I'm playing golf in the summer and we got lots more stuff. Anyways, thank you for listening. Catch us next time. We'll see you later. Brano, lead us out.
Farewell, all.
See you, everybody.